WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, is all about the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. Join Joe at 7 p.m. Eastern each Tuesday night for the first edition of NHRA Nitro, featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhart. Race winners stop by to talk about bringing home the Wally. Every Tuesday night, following NHRA national events, NHRA Nitro is available on demand anytime on the WFO radio application and at WFOradio.com.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. What a race, what a western swing, and folks, it only gets better. Brainerd, the big go, and then the countdown. Joining us now, a driver that is right in the thick of it, following another victory, Steve Torrence. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, great to be back, man. Always good to talk to you on Mondays.
I'll tell you what, you guys are having a year that I can't imagine you would have dreamed this would be happening when you started the season.
Definitely a storybook season, exceeded any expectations we had this year coming out. You know, we just really wanted to set our sights on getting our feet wet, being somewhat of a competitive car, but to come out, run the way that we've run, it's just a true testament to how hard these guys have worked and Richard Hogan. I mean, those guys have given me the best race car every lap, every race, and, you know, I'm doing the best I can to capitalize with it, and, you know, I don't want to jinx us, but we've really right now got a race car that can win this championship.
Yes, you do. You absolutely do. And that's something that we spoke about last week. I always like to talk about your run. I think you're a championship contender, a surprise championship contender. I think you could shock the world if you put together the six races. But with that, I'm sure rides additional responsibility upon you to make sure that you get the job done when you can, because you know everything else is in place. How is it dealing with that?
You know, it really kind of got to me the last few races because, you know, that pressure, I let it in and that's what I was trying to do. I just did not want to be the missing link on my team. And I kind of dropped the ball there in Sonoma and there again in the final at Chicago against Antron. And, you know, as close as these races are, as tough as this top fuel class is this year, if you're not going for the tree, more than likely you're going home. I mean, it's so critical. The cars are running so close, and all the drivers are just, you know, everybody's practicing. Everybody's really on their game on the reaction times this year, and you've got to be there. I mean, Tony goes red against Kalita just by, you know, 111th hour or something. I mean, that shows how hard we're out there trying to win these races. And I took this week before Seattle. I kind of did some soul searching. I got my head right, and I got back in the game. And he said, "You know, we came as far as where we're at right now because I just did me. I did what Steve Torrence was doing, and I drove the car. And Richard Hogan and those guys, they had the Capco car on a string, and you know, I didn't have any of that stress, and I did my best to get rid of it, go to Seattle, and race my race, do my job, and just be confident in myself and that race car, and you know." That really showed this weekend. I mean, I was pretty good on the lights and tried to do what I could to make the best decisions in the car. The first round was kind of hairy, but, you know, when you're out there racing and you don't hear the guy, you don't see the guy, you don't do anything, you do everything you can to get it to the end before him. So, I mean, we got by with luck on a couple rounds, but, you know, we're doing everything we can. I'm trying the best that I can to keep my head straight and not let the pressure get to us. I know it's there, but we'll do good under pressure.
And I think it might be good news that you went through that before the countdown comes. You're locked in, which is a great thing. But I don't know that the fans realize how emotional and mental this deal is, that even during the week when you're doing your regular job, you're thinking, my goodness, man, I got all these guys, they're working great, the car's great, I could win this title, I got to represent, like, how much you carry around with you even when you're away from the track, and to get this soul-searching moment beyond you might be very helpful.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, a lot of things I've got some different circumstances than a lot of the other drivers out there. I mean, this is a family-owned team, and you know, I'm running the team. I've got Richard Hogan and David Fletcher that see the day-to-day operations. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's still me, and I'm still having to look over it, worry about what's going on, you know, taking care of these guys, making sure everything they need, they have, and you know, just the responsibilities of having, you know, two semi trucks and trailers and a Suburban going up and down the road all day and night. I mean, you know, there's just a lot of extra stress there that some of the other drivers don't have, and you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and I'm blessed to be able to do it. But there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that's on my mind, and being able to separate that from race day is sometimes a difficult task.
You definitely had a great day driving the 96 first round, and then 67, 66, 64. So consistency is the name of the game, and that's a good light. You can win a lot of rounds with that. You mentioned that first round run. You got to have those every once in a while, Steve. I mean, we need entertainment. This is supposed to be fire and thunder and sideways, and that's exactly where that run was.
Oh, it was. You know, I missed the tree a little bit. I knew that Crispin would be there. You know, he's not always super great on the tree, but I mean, he's always got a car that pretty much goes A to B wherever he's at. I was expecting Steve Crispin to go 14-4-0, and you know, I felt that was a little late when I left, but I couldn't hear him, I couldn't see him, I didn't know what was going on in these cars. You know, we've got blinders on the visors to kind of keep our focus there, but put the body panels on the car, come out, the windshield's so tall, so if you see the guy beside you, he's ahead. So I knew that I didn't know what he was doing, really. I mean, I knew that he was more than likely going to go A to B, but something was over there. Some way or another, we were ahead, and I wasn't going to let out, you know. And the car kind of sashays around and starts going towards the stripe, and I'm like, I got to get out and get it straightened up, but I can't let him come back around. And I stepped on it a little bit too early right there at the lights to get it across, but you know, I didn't have the car straight, and when I stepped on it, it shot towards the wall. I was able to save it and still get the win. But you know, fans love that. I mean, that's what drag racing's about. I mean, it first one to the finish line wins, whatever it takes. Tire smoking, on fire, sideways, whatever we got to do. Don't hit anything and get it across that finish line stripe. Turn the light on.
And that is what drag racing is all about, folks, and why we get together here each week to talk about it. Now, tough competition, Caledon Belushi second round. I don't think there's somebody who's hungrier for round wins out there. They finally, the Alanabi cars are starting to come around, and I'm sure everyone's like, uh-oh, because, you know, when they get it going, it's going to be good. Doug Coletta's had himself a heck of a season, but you run Sean Langdon in the final. A tough customer out for his first win. And as I said, they're running better, and yet you guys are able to take them out.
Yeah, you know, going back to Belushi, I've really gotten to know that guy this year. He's a really good friend of mine, and I just enjoy hanging out with him. He's a cool guy. I got a phone call from him after the third round with Coletta, you know, and he sees where we dropped the hole and it runs slow, and he's like, why couldn't you do that against me? You know, you go out there and you do this. Why couldn't you do that against me? He goes, good luck in the final, but Sean's going to kick your butt. You know, and that's how teammates are. But we go up there to the final, I get another call from him, and he's like, what the heck? You couldn't have smoked the tires against me? You know, and he's giving me crap. But, you know, Doug, they went out and knocked the tire off instantly. Just another lucky round for us. The thing dropped a hole at the step. I could tell that, you know, that as soon as I stepped on it, like 3/10 later, it dropped the hole, and I thought, man, this thing's about to smoke the tire. Well, then it never did, and I was like, well, it's got a hole out. So I just stayed in it, hoping that it would live long enough, hoping the blower belt would stay on it, because I didn't know what Doug was doing. But, you know, it's just there again. You don't see him, you don't hear him, just stay in it and get it to the end. I was pretty pumped up about the final with Sean. I've grown up racing with Sean Super Comp. I mean, I didn't race juniors, he raced juniors, but we both started Super Comp 15, 16 years old, and I mean, that guy's one hell of a driver. You win two championships in Super Comp. He's won, I think he won a few races in alcohol, and I don't know how many finals he's been to in the field car, but I mean, he's a good driver. So, I mean, I knew that he was going to be on his game. Alan Johnson, that whole Alanabi crew, Brian Houston, You know, those guys right there, that's the team that won the championship last year, so you never take them lightly. We go up there, and I got all the faith in the world in Richard Hogan and my Capco guys. So when we went up there, you know, I knew that I was confident in my car, I was confident in myself, and we were just out for a good old-fashioned drag race. There was, in the back of my mind, that I felt that there was a strong possibility that it could be a pedal fest, and I was really, really ready for it, and I think that was to my benefit. You know, I pedaled it first round, I kind of got to where, you know, the track conditions were real tricky, and if something was going to happen, I was going to be on top of my A game. Unfortunately, Sean smoked the tires just a little bit before we did. I think he carried some momentum, and I was able to catch it and get it to recover a little better than he was. But, you know, that's a great driver over there. A lot of respect for him, a good friend of mine. And that first win for Alan Abbey and Sean Langdon, it's not too far around the corner. Those guys have really, you know, they struggled a little bit there at the first of the year, but I've been telling my parents, I've been telling all the guys on the team, you know, they're not going to struggle for long. I mean, they're going to get their tune-up back. They're going to get those maroon cars back in this game, and hopefully it's not too late for Belushi to get in, but, you know, I think Sean's going to step up the program, and they're going to be major contenders in this countdown also.
Al Belushi is not out of it per se, but it is going to be tough. But I'll tell you what, Steve, if we're doing a little analysis on the championship, it might be worse off for everybody if Belushi is not in the countdown, because suddenly it's all about Langdon, and Al Belushi can go out there and just wreck shop on people. Meanwhile, you're in the mix. It's Spencer, Antron, Tony, then you. You've won a ton of races this year. This is setting up to be a battle royal for the countdown. Yet and still, are you able to enjoy it? Are you out there having fun? You mentioned the work. I know you got work in between. You're out there helping with the family business. You got all kinds of responsibility. Are you able to disconnect and say, "Wow, man! Not only am I doing this, I'm winning. I'm in the mix here. This is such a great story."
It really is, and you know, and fortunately, I've got the opportunity. You know, with the family business, I'm able to kind of step away a little bit. I still go to work, and I still, you know, am at Capco with those guys, but I'm not as directly involved this year as I have been in the past, and a lot of that's just because of the racing. I am having the absolute best time of my life. This year has been so much fun. I've enjoyed every minute of it. I mean, we came out, the cars ran great. If you can't have a good time racing like this and the car running as well as it has been and just all the things happening the way they have, you just can't have a good time. I mean, you're right. And you know, NHRA fans are the greatest, and I believe that this year, this countdown to the championship is going to be the toughest, hardest fought championship race that we've seen since this went to this point system. You know, Antron's car is flying, Spencer's car is on a string, Tony's car, I mean, they're doing good. Our car, the AJ cars are coming around, you know. The Lucas cars, they've struggled a little bit here in the last, you know, the kind of the middle of the season, but the conditions are going to be getting better here at the end of the year, more conducive, and you know, Aaron Brooks and Joe over there, they've definitely shown that they can run when the track is good. I mean, the car went 74th the first of the year, so those MLR cars are coming back in, you know. You got six or seven, well, maybe eight really, really strong cars right there that are all going to be battling it out. So this countdown to the championship is going to be epic for sure.
It is, and the way it's setting up, it's almost like, you know, we got Brainerd, of course, and then the big go. You're locked in. The U.S. Nationals is one that everybody wants to win. It can make a bad season good just by winning it. And whoever does get that win will remember it forever. So I think from right now, the season, every race is almost a playoff race at this point.
Well, I mean, every race, you're going toe-to-toe. I mean, this is the UFC cage fighting of NHRA. I mean, we're head-to-head, toe-to-toe. Those guys are my friends. I mean, I'm really close with Antron. Sean's a good buddy of mine. You know, Tony, all those guys. But when we put the helmets on, I'm wanting to kill that guy. You know, I mean, I'm wanting to take that guy out. I'm wanting to beat him off the tree. I'm wanting to beat him to the end of the track. I'm just wanting to win so bad. when we take the helmets off, you know, we're friends again. But it's going to be ugly. This is going to be a long, hard, strong six races. You know, I mean, all these cars are so close. Look at qualifying. You know, I'm third behind Tony and Spencer by 1 thou. And then number one and two are decided on mile an hour. So, I mean, it's coming to fruition right now. And Top Fuel is probably as close and as competitive as it's been in years.
It absolutely is. Now, a couple of things happening in the tech side of things. The canopy, from what I understand, it looks like it is going to be approved and maybe on those DSR cars, possibly as early as Brainerd. If not Brainerd, then I would imagine the Big Go. Is that something, I don't know if I was you, if I would change anything. Is that something that you are going to pursue down the road right away? What is your perspective on the canopy if it does make its debut in the coming races?
You know, the canopy, that's a good thing. I mean, Don Schumacher and Tony and all the guys over there, you know, Mike Green, they've put a lot of time and research and effort into developing that, and it's a safety deal, and it's great. And I'm glad that that's coming into play, and they're going to be able to use it. We've, at this point right now, it's not something that we're going to do on my team. I don't think, you know, those guys have run the canopy. They know what to expect. They know how the car's going to do. And, I mean, it's going to add some weight to it. It's going to change some aero of the car. It just changes the equation too much for us to jump on the bandwagon right now and do it. It's something that we're going to look at further down the road. You know, I mean, and it shows progression in these Top Fuel cars. I mean, it looks cool. You know, it's a safety thing. It's an appeal. And its marketability, and it looks cool for drag racing. I think it's a great addition to the sport. It's just not something that we're going to do right now with, you know, I guess we've got,
Eight races
left. You know, it's just not something that we're going to jump out there and do. It may be something that we try to implement into a new car in the off season or on one of our other cars and do some testing with it. But, you know, really a good idea. Glad that they've got it approved, and I think that we'll see that out pretty quick.
As a competitor, do you view it as a potential opening, given the fact that they've run so well? For instance, we saw it in Pro Stock earlier in the year. Greg and Jason, the Summit guys, roll out some new Camaros and are gaining on them, but it's a new car and a new learning curve. Do you think that the Antrons and Spencers and maybe Tony, if they start running this canopy, that could open a door as they learn about it? You mentioned extra weight. Balance is a big part of this. You mentioned the aero. Who knows how it will tune, if all their notes are going to match up exactly. Do you think that could open the door for you?
You know, that's a possibility. I'm not going to count on that too much. You know, every one of those guys, Brian Carotti, Mark Oswald, Todd O'Gara, Phil Schuler, I mean, Mike Green, all the guys over there, you know, they're the best. I mean, they're some of the best crew chiefs in the business. And, I mean, look at those. That's 1, 2, 3. Richard Hogan's right there in them, you know. And they communicate, and I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility that it may open a window, but I'm not going to count on it too much. I mean, the cars have run way too well all year, and, you know, they've got a little bit of data on them already. So I don't expect them to falter very much, if any. But, you know, we are going to continue with our program and try to maintain the consistency, because this Capco car has really, really been a good race car pretty much all year.
It has been. It's just, you can see as the car launches, it just picks the front wheel up, sets it right back down, and just goes. It's amazing. Now, you mentioned, we've talked about this being a family-owned team, Capco behind it, and there's a lot of people out there that are seeing the Capco name on ESPN2 that, you know, I don't know if they're in the oil field service business or not,
right,
but you're definitely generating a lot of publicity for Capco. Are you also trying to capitalize on your success and all this TV time you're generating and being on the National Dragster to maybe alleviate some of the pressure off Capco and sell a sponsorship for the countdown, or are you pretty much locked into the racing for the rest of the year?
You know, we're very flexible. I mean, like you said, Capco's our family business. We're fortunate and blessed just to be able to go out and run with it. And, you know, I've got so much support from everyone at Capco. I've got guys calling me saying, hey, man, good job. I'm glad to see we're doing it. You know, and this is a team that we've got, you know, a few hundred people that work at Capco, and every one of them are, you know, they're part of this team. I mean, and they get as much enjoyment and excitement out of watching us go out and win races and do good, and they're proud. And I can hear the guys out in the field or in the office in the morning or whatever, and I mean, and they're proud of it. So that makes me feel good. We are working on some things, marketing-wise. We're talking to some different people and some potential sponsors and potential partners to come on board with us. Capco will always, in some aspect, have a role on this car. I mean, that's part of us. That's part of me. So, I mean, it'll always be there. But we are working on some stuff and trying to capitalize on just the great season that we've had. And, you know, I really am optimistic and feel confident that, you know, we're not just a flash in the pan. I mean, this is a competitive race team. This is what we've set out to do and build it this way. And, you know, we want to develop some long-term relationships with partners that are appreciative of us and share the same goals and interests that we do with this race team and try to carry it to the next level.
Well, it's working out. The plan is working out. I can't help. I know it's a million years ago, but I can't help but think, Steve, about you driving home from last year's World Finals. Like, I remember that story because it was passed around throughout the pit area. Just like, what a bummer, man. Like, I would have not been surprised if you had thrown your hands in the air and said, you know what, the heck with this. I'm doing something else, taking up golf, I don't know. And instead, you did exactly the opposite. You went back home, set up a team, got everything straight, and you're coming out contending for a world championship. It's been a pleasure to watch. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you and the guys. And hopefully this is not the last time we speak following a national event.
I look forward to speaking to you again. Hopefully following Brainerd would be great enough for me. If not Brainerd, we'll dang sure do everything we can to make it Indy.
Well, if it is Indy, we'll be speaking in person because WFO Radio is going to be there, so we'll have to make plans for you to come up to the tower and spend a little time with us.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for the time, and I look forward to talking to you soon, Joe.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
This is WFO Radio.